A snowy mountain peak under a blue sky across which white clouds scud. A horseshoe of stars surround the peak. Paramount, a Gulf Western company. The illuminated New York skyline. People stream along the sidewalk outside an imposing building with glass doors and a high-ceilinged entrance hall. Above the door, the name Newsday. Inside, Richard is on the telephone.
Sue, don't misunderstand me, please.
Sue, I'm not complaining about your work. I have your latest piece right here in front of me, and it's terrific. It's great. It's just that you were due back here yesterday.
Yeah, but Richard, there's one more story I just have to do.
There's always one more story.
No, but would you listen to this? Last month, this guy in the Northern Territory was attacked by a crocodile. The thing bit his leg right off, left him there to die 100 miles from nowhere. A week later, he crawls out of the bush, gets patched up, and disappears.
No interviews, no pictures, nothing.
So?
I tracked him down.
He runs a safari business out of somewhere called Walkabout Creek.
And his name? Get this.
Michael J. Crocodile Dundee.
So even if this thing is for real, it could take you weeks to nail him down.
Will you trust me?
I already made arrangements to meet him. I got a chopper meeting the plane at Darwin. I'll be there tonight.
She's in Sydney.
Okay. I really miss you, darling.
I miss you too, honey.
Take care now.
Don't worry, I'm a New Yorker.
A helicopter flies over a mountainous range in the Australian Northwest Territory. Rimfire Films presents. Paul Hogan in Crocodile Dundee. Introducing Linda Kozlowski, Mark Blum, David Galalpil, Michael Lombard, and John Milon. The helicopter flies over arid dustland. Sue, the Newsday reporter, has a scarf over her blonde hair. She wears a pair of sunglasses but also shields her eyes with her gloved right hand. A pair of earphones with a mic attached sits over the scarf. On the ground, a guy in his late 50s combs his thick head of graying hair. Wearing a safari suit with shorts, he squints into the sun as he watches the chopper draw near. The guy stands beside a pickup. As the chopper lands, his carefully coiffured hair is blown out of shape as the rotors whir up sand and wind. Inscribed on the door of the pickup is Never Never Safari Tours. As Sue clambers out of the helicopter, the guy steps forward to meet her. Sue struggles with a bag, a holdall, and a backpack. The guy takes the heavier two from her.
Walter Riley, Never Never Safaris. I'm Mr. Dundee's business partner.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Riley.
Oh, please, call me Walter. We're pretty informal in the bush.
Wally places her holdall and backpack in the rear of the truck. She tries the passenger door.
No, let me.
He sticks his arm through the open window and opens the door from the inside. Sue settles down in the truck and removes her scarf. Wally walks round to the driver's door and climbs in.
I'm sorry that Mr. Dundee isn't here himself to meet you, but he is here in town. Somewhere.
Director of Photography, Russell Boyd, ACE. Original score, Peter Best. Editor, David Stiven. Line producer, Jane Scott. Original story, Paul Hogan. Screenplay, Paul Hogan, Ken Shaddy, and John Cornell. Producer, John Cornell. Director, Peter Feynman. The helicopter takes off as they drive into a town and stop outside the Walkabout Creek Hotel. Sue gets out and removes her sunglasses. Wally stands behind her.
Welcome to Walkabout Creek.
It comprises sand, telegraph poles, cows, and a few huts.
I took the liberty of booking you into our hotel. I trust that's in order.
Sounds just fine.
There's just one other thing. You did say that you were prepared to
to pay the $2,500?
Absolutely. And I will see where he was attacked and how he survived.
Miss, I assure you, you're going to spend a few wonderful days here.
Wally takes her bags into the hotel. Night, the street light outside the hotel illuminates a passing truck. Inside, a guy's playing pool as Wally joins Sue at a table.
Come on, fellas, $5 anybody can make one score.
So tell me, what's the sideshow all about?
The guy has a pint on his head.
It's just the boys having fun and games. You see, Donk's never spilled a drop. We're a pretty tough breed up here, you know.
Donk is punched in the stomach. His pint's intact.
And you, Mr. Dundee, does he...
No. He's very reserved. He's a legend up here. I mean, there he was, out there doing a quiet spot of fishing, when all of a sudden, bang! This giant crocodile came up, turned him over, bit half his leg off, dragged him down under. Killed it, of course. I mean, any normal man would have just turned up his toes and died. But, not our Mick. No. Hundreds of miles, snake-infested swamps. On his hands and knees, he crawled right into Catherine.
Straight past the hospital and into the first pub for a beer. That story's getting better every time you tell it, Wally.
Wally cringes as the closely cropped blonde middle-aged woman walks away.
Hand ourselves pretty well up here in the bush, miss. About if you're talking legend.
A knife thuds into the bar counter and a man careens inside backwards. He's pushed back out. He clatters back inside, his arms wrapped around a crocodile. Sue watches as the man crashes to the floor. Donk grabs the crocodile's snout and wrestles with it. The thin, fair-haired man with a feather in his bush hat has one arm around the croc as he approaches the bar.
Right. One for me. One for me, mate.
One for you, mate.
The man spots Sue. He places the crocodile in his other arm.
Sorry if that frightened you, miss. You see, it's stuffed.
Him and me both, well.
The man looks Sue up and down as she studies his tanned 40-something features. He wears only a leather waistcoat on his torso.
Michael J. Crocodile Dundee.
Never, never. Safaris.
Yes, never go out with us. If you do, you'll never come back. Right, well?
Sue Charlton, Newsday.
She holds out her hand. He wipes his before shaking it.
Here, well. Why don't Cyril for me while I dance with this charming young lady?
He leaves Wally holding the crocodile, but not for long. Wally, mouth agape, lets the croc drop. Dundee takes Sue's hand and strides with her across the floor of the bar. She's wearing a white top and beige trousers. Dundee starts to dance.
Legend has it a crocodile took half your leg off.
Oh, slight exaggeration. More like a love bite, really.
He rolls up his trouser leg and shows her a big scar above the top of his boot.
Enough about me leg. Let me tell you about the rest of me. Up north in the Never Never, where the land is harsh and bare, there's a mighty hunter named Mick Dundee. Who can dance like Fred Astaire. Smooth shag, eh?
A drinker.
The name of this clown was Mick Dundee. He's the bloke that was grabbed by a croc on the Rapid River.
What's he doing up there?
It's full of crocs. What do you reckon he was doing? Just a poacher, eh?
Listen, you do understand I want you to take me out where you were attacked. Show me how you survived.
Oh, well, I don't know. Just the two of us out there alone have got me reputation to think about.
Hey, you, Dundee. Where can a man shoot a few crocs around here, eh?
Mick narrows his eyes at the drinker.
Oh, how would I know?
The drinker looks at his mate.
Just relax.
He takes off his glasses and stands up.
Now come on, Dundee. Every man and his dog in the joint knows you're nothing but a bloody croc poacher.
Mick decks him with a swift left hook and casually carries on dancing with Sue. Wally winces in despair. The drinker is carried out by his mates.
Oh, sorry about that, but I won't have anyone using bad language in front of a lady.
Bad language?
They watch him being dragged out.
Don't come back, Lula.
What was he saying about you being a poacher?
He was just trying to get a bite, that's all. Don, tonight's me lucky night.
You want to have a bit of a go?
Oh, here's a go, fellas. Good idea, Mick. Quite much time.
Mix puts some money on the bar and all the lads gather round as he squares up to Donk, a giant of a man. Donk places a pint of beer on top of his head. Mick draws back his right fist, ready to punch, but gives Donk a kiss instead. The beer goes flying and Donk throws a punch, but Mick ducks. Wally stares in disbelief. Sue watches with a look of disapproval as Mick gets Donk a fresh drink and cuddles the barmaid.
Give me a kiss, Donk!
I'm sorry, he's not normally like this. I do apologise, it's just the drink.
You mean there's a serious side to him? I can hardly wait.
Next day, a ramshackle truck with open sides and a canvas roof with a boat tied to it trundles along a dusty track. Mick's driving with Sue at his side. Wally's in the back.
Comfortable, miss?
Wonderful country out here.
We think so.
A cloud of red dust spews up behind the truck as it meanders past twisted trees towards a rocky outcrop.
Well, I hope you're not going to be the strong, silent type.
Me?
Reluctant to talk about yourself?
Nah, favourite subject.
Great. Why crocodile?
Wal's idea. He reckons it makes me more colourful for the tourist business.
They trundle over a slight hill.
How old are you?
Dunno. What year is this?
You don't know?
Time doesn't mean much up here, miss. You see, the Aborigines don't have calendars.
Yeah, I was raised by the local tribe. I asked one of the tribal elders one day when I was born, and he said, in the summertime.
They pass lush grasses, marshland and dense trees. Large white birds fly past. Trees are festooned by a flock of white birds that suddenly takes flight.
And is there a Mrs. Crocodile Dundee?
Oh, I was sort of married once. Nice girl, good cook,
big.
He gestures his chest.
Anyway, I went off on walkabout. When I came back, she'd gone.
A walkabout?
That's an Aboriginal habit. It means to wander around and discover new places.
How long were you gone?
A couple of months.
Try 18.
And she didn't wait? Strange girl.
Yeah.
A large black buffalo standing in the middle of the track. Mick stops. The buffalo doesn't move.
Out of the way, Dobie!
It flares its nostrils. The buffalo's glued to the spot. Mick, in beige trousers, a green shirt, a brown leather waistcoat and a cowboy hat with animal's teeth in the band, gets out of the truck and casually walks towards the beast. Sue readies her camera. Mick stands in front of the buffalo and raises his right hand with thumb and little finger pointing out. He holds his hand over the buffalo's nose. Sue takes pictures. Lips slightly parted, Mick stares intensely at the beast. He runs a finger up and down its nose. Mick's light blue eyes are transfixed as he keeps a finger pointed at the buffalo. He slowly lowers his arm and the beast sinks down. The buffalo slowly drops to the ground as if drugged. Sue watches wide-eyed.
That was amazing.
Mind over matter. Old bushman's trick.
Mick casually strolls back to the truck, leaving the buffalo lying on its side. Sue's captivated. Later, Wally, Mick and Sue ride along a wide river in the small boat. The banks are lined with trees. Mick sits at the back, keeping his hand on the steering handle of the outboard motor. Sue, in shorts, a white top, and with a scarf draped over her head, sits with her feet up. Mick flicks her scarf and points to the bank where a crocodile plods along. The crocodile flops into the water. Sue frowns anxiously. Mick casually whistles. Mick drives the boat up onto a muddy bank, and they all get out.
Agnes! All ashore. Well, we'll leave you in Mick's capable hands, and I'll meet you at the Echo Billabong on Wednesday.
He gives Sue her rucksack and she puts it on her back. Mick comes over and glances at Wally's wristwatch. He goes over to Sue and looks pointedly up at the blazing sun.
2:20. You better get started.
Sue checks her watch.
Yeah, yes. That's the way that we do it in the bush. Don't you worry, miss. He's the best bushman in the territory. Best pupil I ever had.
You ready, lady?
Ready as I'll ever be.
Right, well, till Wednesday. Cheerio.
Wednesday.
Mick stops and looks back.
What's today, Wolf?
Monday.
Mick and Sue wander off. Wally nods to himself.
Doesn't know. Doesn't care.
He smiles to himself. Later, Mick and Sue tramp through dense vegetation, Mick with a rifle slung over his shoulder.
You okay, lady?
Oh, I'm fine.
Sue smiles as she pushes branches out of the way.
It's only about another hour to the river, but you being a Sheila, it'll probably take two.
Well, I'll just do the best I can.
Yeah.
They walk across the banks of a creek beneath twisted tree branches.
The water was running 20 foot up the bank during the wet season.
They walk over dried up, muddy ground. Sue has her camera slung around her neck. They stoop under a horizontal branch and step over a fallen branch. Mick points up into a tree.
Here's what's left of me boat.
They walk over to the metal boat, which is wedged in the tree. There's a chunk bitten out of the side of the boat.
I can see where he sunk his teeth in.
My God. How big was it?
16, 18 foot maybe.
Sue puts her hands on her hips.
And you were out here hunting crocodiles in that?
Nah, that's illegal. I was just fishing.
He smiles wryly. Sue looks down and goes over to the boat.
How did you get away?
I said crocs don't like fresh meat. He wasn't trying to eat me on the spot. He just wanted to grab a hold of me and take me down for a death roll.
A death roll?
Yeah. Yeah, see, a croc will grab you, take you down to the bottom of the water, and roll you over and over and over until you stop kicking. And he'll take you away to his meat safe somewhere. Rock ledge, log, down under the water, jam you under it, tenderise you a bit, good eating. Yeah, anyway, he wasn't happy with the grip he had on me, so he let go to get a better one, and I talked him out of it.
Tough.
He gestures, slitting his throat with his finger. Sue picks up some bullet cases from the boat and holds them out to him.
And you were just out here fishing?
Barramundi's a big fish. It'll be getting dark soon. Then I'll take you to where I camped the first night.
A golden sun sets, silhouetting a tangle of tree trunks and dense foliage. It's dark. A small fire burns in the middle of a clearing where Mick's sitting on a log with a sleeping bag on the ground beside him. Sue's making herself a hot drink. A little smoke hangs in the air.
You married?
Was once. To the original rebel.
What happened?
You name it, we marched. Anti-nuke, woman's lib, save the whales. He's probably marching right now for the gay Nazis or something.
Sounds like a prize rat bag.
Oh, he meant well.
She drops her mug.
Have you ever protested anything?
Sure, every time I get thrown out of the pub.
Come on, I'm serious. I mean, where would someone like you stand on, say, the nuclear debate? What do you think about the arms race?
None of my business.
None of your business? How can you say that? It's everybody's business. Gotta have an opinion, gotta have a voice.
He glances round and blows out some cigarette smoke.
Who's gonna hear it out here?
Okay. Something closer to home. The Aborigines. What do you think about their claims to get the land back?
Well, you see, Aborigines don't own the land.
They belong to it. It's like their mother.
He gets up and points.
See those rocks sticking up there? Been standing up there for 600 million years. Still be there when you and I are gone. So arguing over who owns them.
He goes over to Sue.
All right, two fleas arguing over who owns the dog they live on.
He picks up a snake.
Aborigines, well, my gore god's creatures, they just want the right to roam across the earth and be left in peace.
Sue winces as Mick casually snaps the snake's neck and tosses it away. Mick frowns when he sees Sue staring at the snake.
Ah, it's a King Brown.
Poisonous?
Oh, yeah, deadly. Not bad eating, but they always give me gas.
Listen, are there any more of those around?
Oh, maybe the odd one, you know, late at night, but stick close to me, you'll be all right.
Sue doesn't look convinced. With her arms folded, she kicks off her shoes. Mick lies on the ground. Sue peers inside the sleeping bag, then gets in and zips up the side. They lie down side by side.
Yeah, you're probably right. A man should have an opinion. Oh, it's your... Shh.
What?
He looks into the darkness.
Thought I heard something. No, it's nothing. Good night.
Mick lies down and props his hat over his face. Sue tentatively lies on her side, sneaking a furtive glance at Mick before she closes her eyes. Sue wakes up with a start. She's alone.
Mick!
She gets up and puts on her shoes and a jacket. Headlights blaze from a couple of pickup trucks with guys holding rifles standing in the back. The pickups weave in and out of the trees pursuing some kangaroos, which are bounding through the darkness. The guys keep taking pot shots at the kangaroos. Sue trips up. She looks down. There's a dead kangaroo at her feet.
It's only me.
Mick's right beside her. They squat down and watch.
So city cowboys.
Well, what are you going to do?
Nothing. Why?
Why? They're shooting these poor kangaroos for fun.
A kangaroo hops past.
There was no law against that.
She looks at him earnestly. With a slightly disgruntled twist of his lips, he puts his hand on her shoulder.
Keep your head down. Stay here.
Sue stays low and watches. Mick moves off. One of the trucks stops and a guy jumps down, rifle in hand.
Shh! Shut up, blokes! Hey, Trevor, get the spotlight over here, man!
Hey?
The spotlight!
Can't you see where you're aiming?
Shut up!
The guys in the truck switch on a spotlight.
Come on, me! On the bushes!
Hey! Right! Got a gun!
It's between two trees. The armed kangaroo shoots the man's rifle out of his hand. The guys stare in disbelief as the creature takes pot shots at them. They drive off terrified. Sue smiles, elated as the city cowboys are scared off. Mick rises up from behind his dead kangaroo decoy.
Good one, Skippy.
Mick glances at the kangaroo and smiles. Animals graze by the water as the sun rises. Mick's having a shave with a safety razor when Sue wanders over in a black top with a plunging neckline and a colourful flowing skirt. Seeing her coming, Mick swaps his safety razor for an enormous hunting knife and carries on shaving. Sue picks up a dictaphone from her things and goes and squats down with her back to Mick. Mick sheathes his knife and dabs his face with a rag. Sue switches on her dictaphone.
Despite the rugged beauty of this land, there's a sort of strange emptiness about it. The feeling of being so alone.
Yeah, but you're not alone. I'm here, aren't I?
She turns to him.
Yeah, but I think I know how you must have felt, or how I'd feel if I were out here, alone.
You? Out here alone? Oh, that's a joke. City girl like you? You wouldn't last 5 minutes, love. This is a man's country out here.
She smiles wryly.
That's right, I'm only a Sheila.
Sue stands up, goes and grabs her rucksack and straps it onto her back.
We're heading for that escarpment today, right?
Yeah.
Okay. See you there this afternoon.
Hey.
If you're gonna go, take the gun with you. If you get in trouble, fire a couple of shots in the air.
Sue considers for a moment, then goes and picks up the rifle. She looks down at the long, slender barrel.
That's the dangerous end.
He smiles slightly. Sue just stares at him. She cocks it and shoots just in front of his toes.
So it is.
With a steely glare, Sue turns and walks off. Bemused, Mick watches her go. Later, Sue's tramping across grass. She stops and looks around for a moment. Sue takes the top of a metal canteen of water and has a swig. Sue looks back into long grass and dense trees, then hangs the canteen around her neck and walks on. Some way behind, Mick peers out from behind a tree. He creeps out and stealthily follows Sue. Sue wanders through dense trees, a light scarf draped around her face and a floppy wide-brimmed hat on her head. Barefoot, Mick high up in a tree. He silently pads along a branch, then squats down and keeps an eye on Sue as she keeps walking. Sue freezes at the noise. She looks around wide-eyed, nervous, then carries on walking. Mick watches from the tree. He jumps down. Lush palm trees and ferns grow by the river. Sue walks up and rests a rifle against a stump. She puts her bag and her rucksack on the muddy ground. Nearby, a small bundle is lowered from a tree. Sue takes off her hat and scarf and stretches her arms up. Mick jumps down from the tree. He squats under a branch and watches keenly. With her eyes closed, Sue puts her hands on her hips and rolls her head around. Sue walks down to the water's edge and kicks off her shoes. She slips off her skirt, revealing a very curvaceous bottom. She's wearing a swimming costume. Captivated, Mick blows out a long breath. Sue steps into the water with the canteen still around her neck. She squats down and dabs water on her face. Mick stands to get a better view and cracks his head on a branch. He reels in pain. Sue fills up her water canteen. A crocodile surges out of the water and snaps its teeth around the canteen. Sue grabs onto the straps as a crocodile tries to pull her in. Suddenly, the straps break. Sue flies back and Mick jumps down. He plunges his knife into the crocodile. Sue grimaces as she watches its demise. Mick goes to Sue and they wrap their arms around each other.
It's all right, Dave.
Tears stream down Sue's face. Wrapped in Mick's arms, her body heaves.
Hey. I gotcha.
The silver disc of the moon hangs bright over river and marshland. Mick and Sue sit by a fire in a clearing. Sitting on her side, Sue gazes off anxiously. Mick kneels by the fire and wrings out a cloth.
Well, you were right. Definitely no place for a city girl.
I don't know. From what Walls told me, living in a city can be just as dangerous.
Haven't you ever lived in a city?
Never been to a city.
Kidding?
No. Cities are crowded, right? If I went and lived in some city, that'd only make it worse. Here, try this.
Sue takes the damp cloth and presses it against her thigh. She bites her lip.
You want me to have a look at that?
It's just a scratch.
Yeah, well, a scratch can turn septic out here. Give us a look. That's all right.
He lifts her skirt, then looks around.
Huh? Now what?
Mick holds his hand up and creeps into the trees.
It's like living with Davy Crockett.
Sue puts on a shoe, then glances around.
Mick?
She looks up. A shadow flits through the trees.
Mick.
An Aboriginal man peers out from behind a tree. He has thick, matted black hair. There are ochre bands with white spots on them painted across his face and bare chest. Mick puts his knife to the man's throat. They both smile.
Mick.
Sneaking up on a man when he's rendering first aid to a lady.
Is that what you were doing?
They walk over to Sue.
Oh, it's all right, it's a mate of mine, Neville Bell. Sue Charlton.
Good day, Sue.
They all sit down.
And what are you doing wandering around out here in the scrub, Nev?
I'm on my way to Grubbery over at the Gabba. My dad'd get angry if I don't show up.
See, Nev's a real city boy, but his dad's a tribal elder.
Sue picks up her camera.
Oh, no, you can't take my photograph.
Oh, I'm sorry. You believe it'll take your spirit away?
No, you got a lens cap on.
Neville checks his wristwatch.
Mick, I better get going. Nice to meet you, Sue.
Bye, Nev.
I'll catch up to you, Nev.
What's happening?
Well, I better go with Nev and have a chat to the Pitjantjatjara.
Oh, can I come?
Well, no way. No, women are strictly taboo at these turnouts.
He gives her the gun.
How does he find his way in the dark?
He thinks his way. A lot of people believe that they're telepathic.
Oh, God, I hate the bush.
They both smile. Mick jogs off after Nev. Near a large campfire, young Aboriginal men, including Nev, kick up dust as they dance around each other. Tribal elders, with markings painted on their faces and chests, sit on the ground watching and beating out rhythms. Every few beats, the dancers freeze for a moment in hunting poses. Sue's hiding in tall grasses, watching the dance, wide-eyed. She aims her camera with a long lens attached. She scans the group of seated elders and finds Mick sitting amongst them, chatting, his face painted with the tribal markings. Mick turns and spots Sue. He stares out sternly at her. She nervously lowers her camera and goes. When Sue's gone, Mick smiles wryly to herself. Nev shimmies about in the dust bare-chested, wearing blue jeans. Sue's lying in her sleeping bag with her eyes closed. Mick returns and lies on his bedroll. Sue opens her eyes and looks at Mick.
How did you know?
He studies her.
Are you telepathic?
Mick smiles.
Nah. Common sense. You're a woman. You're a reporter. That makes you the biggest busybody in the world.
He lies down. Sue grins.
Well, I can live with that.
Her smile fades.
That croc was going to eat me alive.
Well, I wouldn't hold that against him. Same thought crossed my mind once or twice.
He props his hat over his face. Sue grins thoughtfully.
Good night, Mick.
Next day in a forest.
It took me a week to crawl this far. I thought I was a goner. Said to myself, Mick, old son, find yourself a nice comfortable spot and lay down and die.
Weren't you afraid?
Dying? Nah. I read the Bible once. You know, God and Jesus and all them apostles. Well, they were all fishermen, just like me. Yeah, straight to heaven for Mick Dundee.
He stops and looks up.
Yep. Me and God. We'd be mates.
He gives Sue a nod and walks on. They stand on a lakeshore looking across at an imposing wall of craggy rocks.
This is Echo Lake. I reckon this place saved me life.
Wind ruffles tall, spindly trees.
That's mineral water. Means no crocs. More tucker here than you could poke a stick at.
Tucker?
Food. You hungry?
Starving.
I'll get lunch.
A large lizard roasts on a spit over a fire. Some yams and grubs laid out on a piece of bark. Mick points at the lizard.
How do you like your goanna? Medium? Well done?
You don't really expect me to eat that.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, try some of those yams. Try the grubs and the sugar ants. Just bite the end off. They're really sweet. Blackfellas love them.
Sue tentatively bites into a yam.
What about you? Aren't you having any?
Me? Oh, well, you can live on it.
He produces a tin of food. As he jabs his knife into the top, Sue gives him a friendly shove. Later, they go swimming in the greeny turquoise water. Shadows of trees dapple the pale shore of the lake. Pale, sun-bleached branches hang over the lake. Sue sits on a rock watching Mick, who's standing waist-deep in the water with a long wooden spear poised. Mick moves ever so slowly, his eyes glued to the water. Sue watches, captivated. Mick thrusts a spear downwards. Mick raises up the spear, waggling on the end is a massive fish. Mick wades to the bank and throws it down, then goes and sits next to Sue. She leans to Mick.
Mick, when I go back, why don't you come with me?
What for?
Well, make a great raft of the story. You in New York City?
Oh. For a minute there, I thought you were making a pass at me.
Well, I might have been. Would you mind?
They look into each other's eyes. Sue's face is young and beautiful, her skin flawless. Mick's skin is lined and leathery, his eyes are narrowed. He leans closer to Sue and holds her chin in his hand. They close their eyes and kiss tenderly. Mick and Sue pull apart and Mick looks round.
Bloody Wally. He's only been here a dozen times. He's probably lost.
Later, they're by the truck in the middle of scrubland. Mick heaves his pack onto the back where a dog is sitting. Sue's sitting on the step. Wally comes up to Mick, grinning, and raises his clenched fist.
You got wind or something, Wally?
Yeah. Wally goes over to Sue.
I want Mick to come back to New York with me.
Mick? In a big city? No chance.
Paper would pay.
Well, a man should broaden his horizons.
A jumbo jet taxis under a bright golden sky. On board, Mick sits next to Sue.
Everything okay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no worries.
Mick holds onto the arms of his seat and nervously glances out of the window. As the Qantas jet takes off, Mick forces a smile at Sue. His smile quickly fades as the jet rises into the golden sky. New York's Twin Towers loom over the densely packed city skyline. At the airport, two guys in uniform hold up welcome cards as passengers file through the arrival suite. Kids in summery clothes wave. Sue walks through the crowd. Waiting by an advertising board is Richard.
Sue! Sue!
Good day, mate.
They hug and Richard has a good look at Sue.
You look absolutely stunning.
They kiss tenderly.
Welcome home.
Thanks.
Here, let me get this.
Her bag.
Where's the man from the backwoods?
Oh, God. We got separated at customs. He almost started a riot when they wanted to look through a suitcase. Oh, there he is.
So, that's Jungle Jim.
Mick, holding a kit bag, is at the top of an escalator. He eyes it suspiciously, then gets on. He sees Sue and points. At the bottom of the escalator, the steps disappear under a metal plate. Seeing this, Mick nervously steps back. A woman frowns at Mick, who eventually manages to sidestep off the escalator. Mick looks back up the escalator with great suspicion, then walks on, with his kit bag over his shoulder. Later, a limousine takes Mick, Sue, and Richard through town. Mick's next to the driver.
New York City, Mr. Dundee. Home to 7 million people.
That's incredible. Imagine 7 million people all wanting to live together. Yeah, New York must be the friendliest place on earth.
He looks at the driver, who forces a bemused grin. Sue and Richard share a smile. The limo stops at a red light and Mick leans out of the window to a suited guy who's on the curb talking to a balding guy.
G'day.
The guy smiles politely.
Mick Dundee from Australia. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I think
you're
from the...
Good.
This guy...
Been down for a couple of days. Probably see you around.
Bye.
Went from the... I don't know. I think...
Mick smiles, waves, and is driven off. The guy peers at the departing limo with a quizzical frown. A row of flags outside a grand hotel. The limo pulls up at the entrance. A concierge opens the door for Sue. The driver gets out and opens the door for Richard.
There you go.
Gus, the driver, opens the trunk. The concierge hands Mick's bag to a porter. Gus, a tubby black guy, shuts the boot.
Hey. Thanks for the lift, mate.
No problem.
What tribe are you, Gus?
Tribe? And I ain't from no tribe.
You're a black fella, aren't you?
Last time I looked.
Mick's taken aback.
No one in our tribe's got a flash car like this. You must be doing all right, eh?
Gus smiles bemused. Mick walks round the limo. Sue's on the hotel steps with Richard.
I'll get a cab back to the office. Do you want to eat somewhere special tonight?
Well, I thought Tucano's would be nice.
Tucano's. 7:30?
Great.
He kisses her.
Table for three.
He looks surprised, but smiles anyway and goes. Mick's looking into the engine of the limo with Gus. In the plush lobby, Sue collects keys from the desk and walks to the lift. Following her, Mick rolls a cigarette. The porter carries his bag. Fag in mouth, Mick eyes the lift suspiciously and steps in. Upstairs, the porter gestures for Mick to get out.
No worries.
The porter lets Mick and Sue into an enormous suite with salmon pink walls, a chandelier and antique furniture. Mick walks from the lounge into the bedroom.
Well, what do you think?
Oh, it's a bit rough, but I'll manage.
Hey.
How many of us staying here?
Oh, just you. I've got my own apartment downtown.
She picks up the phone. Mick peers out of the window. The porter in a green uniform walks up to Mick and holds out his hand. Mick shakes it.
Oh, sorry, Mick Dundee. I didn't catch the name.
Angelo.
Pleased to meet you, Angelo.
I got it.
A tip.
Here you go.
Angelo takes the cash and goes.
Got to pay for the room in advance, have
you? You're in my town now, trust me.
She picks up the phone again.
Yeah, can I get the direct dialing code for Australia?
Mick's looking for an ashtray. He cups his hand under his cigarette, then taps the ash into his hat.
You should be comfortable. Everything's here. There's a TV if you get bored.
Oh, television. Yeah, I saw that at Darky Johnson's place years ago.
He switches it on. It's I Love Lucy.
Yep, that's what I saw.
Right. Okay, thanks. So, I'm writing down Wally's number and my office number.
Hey, Sue, come here, look at this.
In the bathroom, there's a bidet next to the toilet. Sue goes to have a look.
Some nitwits put two dunnies in here.
One dunny, one bidet.
Bidet?
It's for, after you know.
Mick frowns. Sue throws up her hands.
You figure it out. See you at 7.
Yeah.
Sue goes. Confounded, Mick sizes up the bidet. He holds his foot in for size and then sits on the toilet next to it and stares down at the bidet, trying to work out its purpose. Outside, Sue walks down the hotel steps. Mick turns on the bidet. A jet of water shoots straight up in the air. He turns it off. Gus opens the back door of the limo for Sue. They look up, Mick's leaning out of his window.
We're washing your backside, right?
Sue gives Mick the thumbs up and gets in the limo. Gus grins and shuts the door. Standing on the hotel steps is the concierge, a surprised-looking man with glasses. Mick comes out of the revolving door and greets a woman.
G'day.
Mick strolls down the steps. The concierge eyes him with a bewilderment. Mick walks down a busy New York street, checking out the locals. A bald guy walks past.
G'day. G'day.
Mick keeps greeting random people who just walk past. He tips his hat to a glamorous woman.
G'day.
Hello.
G'day.
Mick carries on walking along the packed street. Way up above, stars and stripes flags hanging from buildings wave in a breeze. Mick ends up walking against the flow of the crowd. He tries not to bump into the seemingly endless flow of people.
Oh, sorry.
Mick smiles politely and touches his hat.
Sorry.
Like robots, suited men plod along the street. Mick ends up standing at the side, just watching the to-ing and fro-ing. Mick walks briskly across the pavement and nearly steps off the curb, but pulls back when he sees the traffic. Exasperated, Mick looks up and down the packed street. At a junction, a policeman is on horseback. He looks up the street and sees Mick, who's climbed up on a signpost. The policeman walks his horse along the street towards Mick. Later, the plump and permanently bewildered-looking concierge, Irving, stares incredulously as Mick arrives on the back of the police horse. Mick climbs down and shakes the policeman's hand.
Take it easy, Mick.
Thanks, mate.
Mick takes his knife. Mick passes Irving.
G'day.
Yes, sir.
Mick plods up the steps into the hotel. That night, in a plush restaurant, a waiter pours cocktails. A glamorous woman in red walks in with a suited man.
Good evening. Follow me, please.
Sue walks in wearing a pale blue dress. Mick follows. Richard's at the bar.
Hello. Sorry we're late. Been waiting long?
Oh, I arrived early. Eager to spend time with my girl. So, what are we drinking? Two vodka martinis, and what's yours, Crocodile?
Yeah, I'll have two of those. And a beer, thanks.
Did you send them through to our table, ma'am?
Richard, in a white suit, pays and stands. He's slightly wobbly.
You have been here a while.
Let's eat.
Mick's having a look at the restaurant.
This will be quite a novelty for you, Mick. Eating something without having to kill it first. Shall we?
Ah, Robert.
Good evening, Mr. Mason. I can see you've got some friends. Please.
They walk past screens with colourful exotic birds on them and sit.
Thank you.
Mick has a good look around before he takes his seat opposite Sue and removes his hat. Richard holds Sue's hand.
You know, I had almost forgotten what a sexy looking lady you are. I'm going to have to find a way of keeping you in town.
Oh, I think we can work something out.
Really? Yes, come on. No.
He nibbles her fingers.
Now listen, you two should really be alone.
Sorry, Mick. It's just that we haven't seen each other in 6 weeks.
Well, that's all the more reason
why I should... No, there's no way I'd leave you alone on your first night in New York. Richard and I want you with us.
Right. Absolutely. New York is no place for a country gent. I mean, ain't no crocodiles out there, but a fast-moving Chevy sure make a mess of you.
Mick's clueless. A waiter opens out Mick's napkin and tries to lay it on his lap. Mick grabs the waiter's wrist. Richard cracks up as the menus arrive.
Great. I'm starving.
Grazie, Roberto. È stato piacere rivederti.
Bravissimo. Lei parla molto bene italiano.
Thank you. Perhaps I should order for all of us, all right? I don't imagine that they have any. Kangaroo steak or possum grits.
Oh, don't worry about Mick. You can make a gourmet meal out of just about anything, even medium rare goanna.
It was great, wasn't it? Right? And what about the yams?
Oh, yes. It was great.
Well, that's wonderful. Sure. As he's our guest, perhaps he'd like to order for all of us.
Oh, wait a minute. I'll do that.
No, it's all right. I'll have a lash.
Smiling, Mick opens his menu.
Italian, eh?
Yes.
Mick mulls it over. Sue and Richard watch expectantly. Mick looks across at another diner.
I don't know what you call it, but I like to look at that dish up there, the big fat shell, is it?
Sue turns to look and Mick punches Richard on the jaw.
Richard!
Richard flops back into his seat. Mick smiles at the onlookers. Richard starts to slip under the table. Later, they ride through town in a yellow cab. Richard's dozing between Sue and Mick.
He said you hit him. You're not in the pub at Walkabout Creek now.
He was being a pain.
That's beside the point.
You're not serious about this lemon, are you?
Butt out, Dundee. He had a little too much to drink. Richard is warm, caring, and I love him, okay?
Excuse me.
What?
I think I'm gonna throw up.
God.
Sue despairingly rolls her eyes. The cab drives along a quiet suburban street and pulls up. Sue gets out, followed by Richard, who steadies himself on a fence. Mick gets out.
You want a hand?
No, I can handle it.
I'm fine.
Sue steadies Richard and turns to Mick.
Listen, we've got a busy day tomorrow, so get some sleep. I'll pick you up early.
Good night.
Night.
As Sue helps Richard along a path, Mick gets into the cab next to the driver.
I think you better take me to the Boozer.
Boozer? Don't know that one.
Pub, you know, somewhere to get a drink. Want to join me?
I just finished my shift. Why not?
fancy a drink, do you?
You kidding? I'm Italian. I'd drink you under the table any day, my friend.
Well, that could be interesting.
Later, Danny the cab driver staggers through a seedy bar with a drink looking a bit worse for wear. Mix with a brunette and a dude in a cap.
No, I'm not putting down your Black Widow spider. But the funnel web spider can kill a man in 8 seconds just by looking at him. Of course, the real danger down there is the sharks, though. The big ones, you know, like Jaws. I caught one down there about 3 weeks ago. Cut it open. You know what we found inside it? 3 Filipino fishermen. Still in their boat.
Hey, Buzzy, come on over and meet this guy from Australia.
A dude in a red jacket.
Hey, my man, what's happening?
Where?
What's going down, bro?
Going down? Oh, yeah, just blowing the froth off a couple.
All right. Hang loose, my man.
Flat out like a lizard drinking.
Say what?
What?
He's cool.
Yeah, I'm cool.
They do a fancy handshake. Mick looks a bit bemused and they slap palms.
All right.
He's a nice fella. There's me, little Italian mate, Danny. Just in trying to buy another round too, mate. What are you drinking, Gwendolyn?
Oh, no more money, thanks, Mick. I must be getting on home.
All right. Where's home, sweetie?
Just around the corner. I have a little place where I live all by my lonesome.
Not now.
Most of the time, that is.
Oh. Must get a bit lonely, eh? Anchor for a bit of male company?
Do I ever.
Excuse me, Gwendolyn. Don't go away, love.
Mick goes over to Danny.
I've been trying to tell you all night. That girl, she's a guy. A man dressed up as a girl.
Mick stares. Danny holds up his hand and swears. Mick goes over to Gwendolyn, the glamorous brunette, who's just touched up her makeup. She smiles at Mick with luscious red lips. He gets close and grabs her by the groin.
That was a guy. Guy dressed up like a Sheila. Look at that. There, you all knew it was a guy.
She's gone. Danny swaggers out of the bar, followed by Mick.
Where the hell did I leave the cab?
Dunno.
You wait here until I go look for him, Mick.
Danny totters across the street. Mick goes and casually leans against the bar's red brick front. He eyes up a couple of scantily clad girls leaning on the hood of a small car. The girls smile at Mick. He smiles and doffs his hat to them.
G'day, girls. Mick Dundee from Australia.
Looking for a good time, honey?
Always looking for a good time.
He wanders over to them. One's a brunette, one's a blonde.
Are either of you ladies attached or married or anything like that?
No, we're both single ladies. This is Carla. I'm Simone. Where are you from, honey?
From Walkabout Creek in the Northern Territory. You probably don't know where that is.
Hey, I do. You're the guy I've been reading about in the paper. The crocodile man. I've been reading about him in the paper. He's like a regular Tarzan. Wrestles crocodiles, eats snakes. Is this your first trip to New York?
Mick has a think.
First trip anywhere. I mean, we could take in a movie or, you know, go to a dance.
Girls. We working tonight or we socializing?
Hey, pal. I was just talking to the ladies and making a bit of progress.
Are you gonna talk all night, my man?
Mick punches the pimp and he sprawls under the hood of the car. Danny pulls up.
Sorry about that, but nice chatting you, ladies. Come on, Danny, you're in no condition to drive. Hop in, mate.
The hookers smirk as they look at the unconscious pimp.
So many accidents over here. Steering wheel's on the wrong side of the car.
Mick strolls around the car and gets in on the driver's side. The astounded-looking prostitutes wave and then gawp as Mick speeds off.
Get out of the way, Toby! Get on the right side of the road, you pelican!
Mick has a bubble bath in his hotel suite. He's washing his socks in the water.
If I get my heart to you, then I'll have none and you'll have two.
Wearing a black dress, a tartan patterned jacket and sunglasses, Sue strolls into Mick's room. She removes her shades and smirks as she listens to Mick in the bath. Sue folds her arms and grins as she looks at Mick's makeshift bed on the floor next to the hotel's bed.
Signor Mick! The towels for Signor Mick.
Is that you, Rosita? Now just leave the spare towels on the bed, will you? Much au gracias, love.
Si, Signor Mick.
Sue takes the towels from Rosita and heads towards the bathroom. Mick gives one of his socks a sniff before wringing it out. A woman's barefooted leg appears at the door, straightens, and then caresses the door frame.
Straight. Hey, listen, Rosita. It's only being friendly. You know, I didn't mean,
Your towel, Signor Mick.
Sue peeps her head round the doorframe and drops the towels on the floor. Mick has covered his crotch with his hat.
A minute there, room service took on a whole new meaning.
Mick takes up one of the towels. New York City skyline. Sue and Mick are at the top of an incredibly tall building. Mick surveys the surroundings in awe. He stands at the edge of the building as Sue takes his photograph in front of the cityscape. Mick flashes a toothy grin and points at the skyscrapers behind him. Later, they're at a hot dog stand.
One dog, please.
The man goes about getting the hot dog.
Chili, onions, sauerkraut, and some peppers.
Mick gazes at the hot dog covered with all the trimmings.
There you go.
You eat that?
Well, you know, you can live on it.
Mick and Sue walk side by side along the bustling street. Cars queue up in a traffic jam whilst a cyclist whizzes past them. Mick and Sue go over to where a crowd is gathered. They make their way through the crowd to see a man with long hair having the sides of his head shaved. Suddenly a youth jostles through the crowd, stealing a woman's handbag and knocking some groceries out of a man's hand. Mick bends down and picks up a can from the ground. He hurls it at the robber, hitting him and knocking him to the ground. Sue photographs Mick as he's applauded. At a party, a bright red drink is picked up by a pretty dark-haired woman. She's wearing a beret and dangly black and white earrings. Her miniskirt and matching top are black with white letters on in alphabetical order. The only words that are spelled anywhere are wow and rock. The woman goes down onto the dance floor. Mick and Sue are on the dance floor too.
Hey, Mick! How you doing, baby? It's me, Simone.
Oh, yeah, Simone. Having a good time?
As always.
Simone's with an old man.
Nice girl. Thoughtful too. Dancing with her father.
You're going to have to overcome this country boy shyness, Andy.
Yeah.
Oh, there's someone I want you to meet.
Sue leads Mick over to a tall, masculine-looking woman.
Sue, darling, you're back. How wonderful.
Fran, how are you?
Couldn't be better. Tell me, who's the new man?
Well, this is the man I'm writing about, Mick Dundee. Oh.
Mick looks curious.
Nothing matter, darling.
Mick grabs the woman's crotch.
Pleased to meet you.
It's okay, he's Australian.
Maybe I better go there someday.
Oh, darling, I'm so glad you could come. Excuse me.
Mick has walked off. Sue goes over to him and stares probingly.
Just making sure.
Right, I'll get us a drink.
Mick checks Sue out from behind as she leaves. She turns and flashes a quick smile before going to the bar. Mick puts a Rizla paper into his mouth and watches the well-dressed partygoers dance. In contrast, the scruffy-looking Mick finishes rolling his fag and lights up. Mick is in conversation with a bespectacled man. Mick looks across at Sue, who's wearing a red evening dress, which shows plenty of flesh. She's on the dance floor boogieing provocatively. Fran waves flirtatiously at Mick. The Aussie blonde nods back at her before knocking back his vodka martini. Mick and Sue stand together watching other people dance. They clink glasses and Sue watches Mick knock back another martini while she just sips her own. They smile at each other. Mick's in his room wearing just a towel and his hat. He's on the phone to Wally.
Got the photo, Mick? I look great. Yeah. Ida sends love.
Hey.
Oh, wait a minute. Doc wants to have a word to you.
Mick, get stuffed.
Very good. How are you getting on with the New Yorkers, Mick?
Ah, oh, bonds of people. Friendly, full of beans, but a bit weird.
Well, that's the joys of travelling. When are you coming home, mate?
Well, if you can manage, Wal, I'd like to stay a while.
Oh, yeah. No troubles at all. Wouldn't have anything to do with a certain lady writer, would it?
Yeah, well, to start with, she's a better kisser than Donk.
You little beauty. Keep in touch.
Yeah, no worries, Wal. Ta-da.
Well, come on, Wal, what'd he say?
Well, he just, he wants to stay there a little while longer. He wants me to take care of things out here.
Walk about
like
half.
Mick and Sue walk arm in arm up a set of steps from the underground. A youth wearing a shiny red jacket and bandana approaches them.
You got a light, buddy?
Yeah, sure, kid. There you go.
And your wallet.
He pulls out a knife.
Give him your wallet.
What for?
He's got a knife.
Knife.
Mick pulls out his huge Bowie knife.
That's a knife.
The youth and his gang, who had recently joined him, back away as Mick waves his knife about and grins. He turns back to Sue.
Just kids having fun. You all right?
I'm always all right when I'm with you, Dundee. God, that sounds corny. Why do you always make me feel like Jane in a Tarzan comic?
Mick beats his chest and smiles. Sue gazes at him for a moment before wandering across to Mick. She wraps her arms around him and kisses him. Mick embraces her in his arms, and they kiss passionately underneath the archways. Wearing a light cream suit, Sue sits at her desk at work, looking at her computer, lost in thought. Richard, with his glasses in his mouth, strolls over with a newspaper in his hand. He sidles up behind Sue without her noticing him until he plonks the paper down on her desk. She turns with a bit of a start.
That's what we ran while you were down under.
Sorry, I can't seem to get my mind in gear.
She looks at the article, but Richard takes it from her.
Sue, so, when you were away, I did some thinking. It's time I made some concrete plans.
Are you building a freeway or proposing to the finest catch in New York State? Hello, young lady. I've been reading your articles. Seems you've been tripping all over the world, enjoying yourself at our expense.
Well, I'd like to think you're getting your money's worth.
She smirks.
You got a kiss for the old man?
Oh. She hugs her father.
I'm safe. Have you told Sue about Sunday?
Oh, I was just about to.
You're coming out to the weekend house for a welcome home dinner.
But right now, I want Richard to explain how he runs this newspaper better than I do when I'm away. By all means, bring along this Crocodile Dundee. Him, I've got to meet.
Sue's balding, rotund father smiles at her one last time before leaving her office. Richard looks at Sue before following him out. Sue looks away, seemingly a little dazed. She looks at the article headlined, "The Crocodile Man," with a photograph of Mick. Nighttime, a car is driven up towards a huge mansion.
Well, you said your dad sells newspapers.
Oh, well.
He sells a lot of newspapers.
The grey car pulls up outside the colossal house. The mustachioed driver climbs out, walks around the car and opens the door. Richard is the first passenger out. A butler comes to the door of the house and watches as everyone gets out of the car.
Thank you, Gus.
Gus, the driver, holds the door as Sue and Mick clamber out.
Oh, hell, the dogs are out. Mick?
Richard hurries Sue towards the house. Mick stands his ground and watches as two Rottweilers come steaming towards him. Richard, Sue and the butler watch on from the front door. Mick extends his little and index fingers and points them at the dogs. The dogs calm down and sit in front of Mick, who strokes them. Sue smiles on. As Mick turns to go inside, Gus gives him a thumbs up and approaches the dogs. On hearing the dogs snarl, Gus quickly turns away with his smile fixed. Mick, Sue, Richard and the butler go inside into a huge hall.
Nice to see you again, Miss. Mr. Mason.
To see you looking so fit and well. Simpson, Mr. Dundee.
Nice to meet you, Simmo.
He gives Simpson the handshake he was taught at the bar.
Call me Mick.
Mick. Your father's expecting you, miss. He's waiting with his guests in the lounge.
Richard and Sue smile at Simpson and make their way into the crowded lounge. Mick follows them in. Sue's father's attention is drawn to the trio.
Oh, excuse me. Hi, Punkin. Richard.
I'm good to see you.
And this, of course, is Mr. Dundee.
Yep.
I believe I'm deeply in your debt for saving my daughter's life.
Well, buy me cold beer and call it quits. Nice joint you got here.
Yeah, well, it keeps the rain off our heads. And... Come, I want you to meet some people. Patricia, a drink for Mr. Dundee. Yes,
oh,
God, look who's here. My Dorn.
How are you?
Dorothy and Wendell Wainwright.
Are we from Australia?
Ah.
Nice to meet you, Wendell.
Mike, have a drink. Thank you.
And are you involved in cattle, Mr. Dundee?
Yeah, mostly buffaloes.
Oh. Well, do you breed them?
No, I just toss them.
And how are you finding New York?
Bit of a lunatic asylum, right? That's why I love it, because I fit right in.
If you'll excuse me, I'd like Mick to say hello to Senator Manley.
That's a good idea.
Right. It was nice meeting you.
See you later.
Nice
to meet you. Seems like a personable fellow.
Mm-hmm. What's that jacket
made of? Nice people.
Dorothy's fine now, but she used to be really uptight.
What happened?
She found a wonderful shrink. Psychiatrist.
Mick wears a look of despair.
That crack about the lunatic asylum.
He gets close to Sue.
I didn't know she was nuts.
Of course she's not nuts. People go to a psychiatrist to talk about their problems. She just needed to unload them. You know, bring them out in the open.
Hasn't she got any mates?
You're right. Guess we could all use more mates. Suppose you don't have any shrinks at Walkabout Creek.
Nah, back there, if you've got a problem, you tell Wally. And he tells everyone in town, brings it out in the open, no more problem.
She chuckles.
Richard, make it this
Wendell,
evening.
It's wonderful to see you, and I don't believe I know your daughter.
Oh, stop it.
Richard.
Richard smiles at an old lady. In the dining room, guests are seated around the long table. Waiters serve them red wine.
Ladies and gentlemen, friends, welcome home, Sue.
Sue looks embarrassed and flashes a smile.
As you can see, we're all glad to have you back. Of course, no one more than I. I guess everyone in this room knows how this beautiful lady and I feel about each other.
Sue looks away.
Sue's come back to us. Delivered, literally out of the jaws of death, by our newfound friend, Mr. Michael J. Dundee. A man to whom I am doubly indebted. Of course, not only did he bring back to me the woman that I love, but he managed to increase the circulation of the newspaper in the process. You know, Sam said to me earlier, you're her editor, can't you stop her from taking all these dangerous assignments? Well, quite obviously, I have not had a great deal of success influencing her as her editor. Perhaps I'll have more success as her husband. If she'll have me.
Richard.
Sue smiles. Richard takes the ring from its box and slips it onto Sue's finger. The pretty blonde journalist watches him do this in a trance-like state. Sue gazes into Richard's eyes before he kisses her on the lips. Mick watches this and then joins in with the applause to the happy couple.
Well done. Well done.
Thank you very much. I could have done it without
you. Sue looks across the table at Mick, who's smiling and chatting with another woman. Sue's smile fades and she looks away. Mick looks up at Sue with a faraway look in his eye. Simpson opens the front door to Mick and Gus, who stroll towards the car.
I'll get in the back, Gus.
Gus walks over to the car and gets into the driver's seat. Mick swaggers over and sits with his back to Gus. Mick puts his knife on the seat next to him and sighs.
To the hotel, Mick?
Yeah, Gus. Oh, I have a liquor store.
Gus looks Mick up and down and hands him a brown paper bag.
For medicinal purposes.
Mick smiles and takes the package. He pulls a half-drunk bottle of whiskey out of the bag. The New York streets are crammed with yellow cabs. Gus pulls up at the side of the road beneath the brightly illuminated advertising boards. Mick clambers out of the car, slams the door, and strolls a short way up the sidewalk.
Hey, take care now.
Mick swaggers away from the car, one hand in his pocket, the other clasping the whiskey and swinging it by his side. Gus watches him go and looks worried. Mick strides along wearing his blue jeans and brown boots. He walks past an elderly bearded tramp sitting on the street.
Hey, buddy!
Mick hands the tramp the whiskey.
Get in here, pup.
God bless you. You've saved my life, really.
Mick walks down a dark alley where two scantily clad hookers are leaning against a wall. One of them is wearing knee-length red boots and the other a tiger-patterned miniskirt.
Hey, Simone!
Mick walks over to the women, but neither of them are Simone.
Want some action?
Thought you were somebody else.
The pimp appears.
What's the matter, Aussie boy? You gonna make like a kangaroo and hop away?
Mick punches the pimp, knocking him to the ground. Two hench blokes walk towards Mick ominously. Mick reaches for his knife, but it's not there. He raises his hand and tries the same trick he had used on the dogs. Having distracted them, Mick punches one of them, but they overpower him. The pimp comes over. Gus drives into the alley. The pimp looks up petrified as he sees the car come hurtling towards him. The pimp is smashed into the windscreen and then thrown into his henchman. Both men fall into the trash. Gus gets out of the car in time to see the third man running away. He rips the spoiler off the back of the car and throws the boomerang-shaped hunk of metal at the man. He hits and floors the guy.
You okay, Mick?
Oh, yeah, Gus. No worries. I was just getting on top of him.
Mick flashes Gus a smile and then looks round the alley at the carnage that Gus has inflicted. Mick goes and looks at the guy sprawled out in the alley.
You sure you're not Bindanjara tribe?
No, man, holla warlords.
Knew you were tribal.
Gus is with the car outside Sue's dad's fancy house. Inside, Sue is on the phone.
Mick Dundee's room, please.
In Mick's hotel room, Mick's in the bathroom brushing his teeth. His telly's on full blast, so he doesn't hear the phone ring. Sue smiles at her dad as she waits.
I'm sorry, he's still not answering.
He called down this morning to say he was checking out today.
We're going to miss him around here.
Thanks.
Sue looks thoughtful. Wearing a headscarf and black leather gloves, she puts on her large sunglasses and leaves. Outside the hotel...
Thank you, sir.
The bespectacled concierge, Irving, wearing a green uniform and bow tie, takes his place at the entrance to the hotel as Mick comes out.
Hi, Irving. How are you, mate?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't be dead for dollars.
Close.
Are you leaving us, Mick? You going back home?
No, I thought I'd go walk about. I'll wander around, take a look at America.
For how long?
As long as it takes. What's the quickest way out of town?
Well, if you're looking for adventure, there's a subway about two blocks that way. It'll take you to Grand Central Station.
That'll do. Have a nice day, Irving.
No worries, mate.
Mick flashes Irving a toothy grin before leaving. The slightly goofy-looking concierge smiles after Mick and watches as he walks away, bag over his shoulder. Mick strides across the road, further away from the hotel. Gus pulls up outside the hotel. Irving opens the car door and Sue steps out. Her father is in the back of the car as well.
Morning, Miss.
Morning.
Are you sure you know what you're doing?
No, but it'll come to me.
Incidentally, Miss, if you're looking for Crocodile Mick, he's gone walkabout.
I don't suppose you know where.
Yeah, he's headed for the subway two blocks down. You better hurry.
Mind this for me.
Sue's dad, Sam, chuckles as he watches his daughter hurry off. Sam closes the car door. She struts down the street, a worried look upon her face. She breaks into a run and tears past pedestrians. Mick strolls down the steps leading into a subway. Sue throws her high-heeled shoes to the ground and continues running barefoot. She speeds along with her handbag and her headscarf in her hands. Mick plods to the bottom of the steps and goes into the subway with a large crowd of people. Sue continues running. She knocks into people who are walking along the street, and she scurries across the road. In the subway, Mick makes his way down the busy platform as more commuters come along. Sue races in between stationary traffic and to the top of the subway. She scuttles down the steps and bursts through the ticket barrier, only to bump into a scruffy, long-haired bloke.
Where are you going? You want to play? Why don't you play with me?
She knees the man in the groin and then rushes off towards the platform. It's completely packed.
Mick Dundee!
What's up, lady?
I gotta talk to that man down the end. The one in the black hat.
The bearded man looks through the crowd.
Hey!
A man in a hard hat looks at him.
Lady here wants to talk to the guy in the black hat.
Fella! You in the hat! The lady down the end wants to see you.
What does she want?
What does she want?
What do you want?
Tell him not to leave. I'm not gonna marry Richard.
The bearded man turns to the builder.
Tell him don't leave. She's never married Richard.
The builder nods. Mick shrugs.
Why not?
I don't know. Why not?
Why not?
Sue breathes heavily.
I love him. I love you.
I love you.
The bearded man smiles.
I love you. I love you.
Love you.
Well, tell her. I'll tell her myself. I'm coming through.
He's coming through.
He's coming through.
Mick struggles to move on the jam-packed platform.
It's just too crowded here. We're jammed in like sheep.
Mick grabs hold of a beam above his head. He pulls himself up above the crowds and begins walking on top of them. Sue beams as she sees him come towards her. Mick wobbles about, treading on people's heads and hands, but slowly making his way along the platform to the delight of the crowds. She rushes off the steps at the entrance to the platform and comes to meet Mick. She barges through the less dense areas of the crowd. Mick leaps down from the crowd and rushes to Sue. They embrace in a tight hug and he kisses her. The crowd applaud and cheer. ITFC audio description, voiced by Fiona McGeown.